Hello, and welcome to the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast, a show for people who want to take their personal training businesses and fitness coaching skills to the next level. Team Alloy has been in the personal training business since 1992 and share their insights from working with businesses and brands around the world. Listen in for secrets and tips on running a successful fitness business, from personal training, marketing, staff management, scaling your business, and everything in between. If you are interested in having your own personal training business, our systems are well developed, and we are focusing on very discrete segments which we think are the secrets to success. Now, let's get started with our host.
What's going on, Rick?
Hello, Matt.
How you doing today, man?
Good, man. How are you? How's the workouts going for the entire world? Matt Helland, creator of workouts for a couple thousand gyms worldwide. How many members do you think each gym has? Like, if you had to guess on average, how many people are using your workouts?
A couple hundred. What do you think?
Per gym?
Sure. 150? 200?
I'd say 300. 200 would be fair.
I mean, there's a lot of different size gyms out there.
Yeah.
There is. We'll go with that. I don't hear much. No news is good news, right?
I guess so, yeah. Hey, pull your screen back a little bit. You're good. All right, cool. Yeah, man. No news is good news. So, I like them. I do them. Yeah. They hurt in a good way.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
How's that mustache going?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Movember for anybody here. I mean, mine's going kind of. Like, what's up with you, man?
I'm not doing it.
Staying with your dad?
Yeah.
You don't want to turn into your dad?
I do. You want me to do it?
Yeah, I want you to do it. And you know you're going to turn into your father anyway at some point.
So if I get divorced, it's your fault.
the missus isn't down with the mustache?
I don't think so.
Like, no girls like cheesy mustaches. That's why you do it, bro.
All right.
What do you have to worry about?
You know he's going to look like Freddie Mercury by the end of this.
Yeah, that's right. Got the voice, too. The golden pipes to match. Just don't like to show that off.
Okay.
Yeah, I can only have time for one career. Anyway, shoot. All right, so what you talking about today? Or what are we talking about? Yeah.
I got a big topic. Yep. We get a lot of questions about it, requests to talk about this. And it's sales and our sales process and your thoughts around that. I know it's a very large topic, so I was kind of wondering how you want to break this down and talk about it.
So we have, Matt, a scripted sales process, right? So it's really it's a 1 hour long sales appointment, if you will. We call it the starting point session, but it's really broken down into four parts. So why don't we do, for simplicity, like a four-part series that we can keep them like reasonably short for everybody to consume. So we'll start with obviously step one, right? So imagine a 1 hour time period set aside for sales. And here's the thing about sales before we dig in. It's sort of a dirty word at times in our industry. It's like, you know, I'll hear coaches and trainers saying, you know, I don't like to sell, right? I don't do sales. I just get people in great shape. And you know this because you sat in the director of training, which is our term for the salesperson's role for a while. If you can't sell, you can't help people. So of all the things you want to do, get people in great shape, you know, you're intrinsically motivated to change lives. None of that's happening if you can't sell.
Right.
So you've got to lean into sales and to have a scripted sales process. You know, everyone that listens to anything I've ever done knows I'm a big fan of the E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. A scripted sales process, as opposed to shooting from the hip, is infinitely more successful, even with someone that's talented, right? And if you're looking to scale your business or open a second location, finding an amazing salesperson that can slot in there and just let them do their own thing versus running a script is very difficult to do. So I would say a script start by having a scripted sales process. We're going to walk you right through ours. So just knock it off or buy an Alloy franchise, better yet. But build something if you don't have it, right?
Sure.
If it's just you doing it and you want to scale and get out of the training and the sales of your own training, or you're trying to open your first gym, you're going to need someone to sit in that seat to sell, and you're going to need to turn to that person and say, this is how we do things.
Okay. That means before we get into it, what's kind of some of the pitfalls if you don't have a system? I mean, what are some of those gyms going to run into if they just have a shoot from the hip salesperson in their location?
Well, if they're really talented, they'll probably still see good results, right? But I guarantee you that really talented person has, without even knowing it, a sort of protocol. Like, this is what you'll hear when you go to these gyms. Like, if we're consulting or going in as a license, when we had a license going into these groups, you would hear the individual saying, well, this is how I do things. And this is when I sit down with someone, I do it this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they don't understand is they're all, if you step back and you look at it through from, say, crop duster height, and you're just kind of listening to all this feedback, it's funny how similar everyone's successful, if they're successful, how similar their sales systems are, right? So what you run the risk of, if you don't have a scripted sales system, is, again, your ability to scale, right? Your ability to sell, like, let's say you go from trainers selling their individual selves, like, hey, work with me, you know, I'm going to help you reach your goals. That's an easy sell, but mm-hmm. Hey, work with us. I'm going to give you over to, you know, Cindy, right? She's going to be your coach. That's a different level of sales acumen, right? So if you're shifting gears from individual selling your own self
yep.
to selling a service, and you've gone through that, right? To work with someone else, it's going to take more effort. So I would say the drawback in having just shoot from the hip sales is it's not a consistent experience for the customer, right? You're probably going to lose, certainly with new salespeople, you're going to lose some sales to the fact that they're going to get lost, or they're going to get thrown for some loops with some tough questions, or maybe they're not going to tee it up right so that at the end, you know, they've got the person primed and ready to purchase, right?
Sure.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, what I'm really saying is you're not going to be as successful.
Sure. Well, but also, I mean, if you are running a system like ours, you know, we all say the same things, do the same things, and you have different messages coming out of that office, that's going to hurt you down the road for sure.
Yeah. I mean, one of the pitfalls that you and I don't even talk about or haven't talked about, I don't think, is like, if there's something in the sales process that's like overpromising, essentially, right? And then those things aren't manifested on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're selling certainly into a market with a hook, like a trial of some sort, you're going to lose that customer because someone's going to sit down and almost tell them anything to close the sale because that's what's being measured.
Sure.
And then if they're saying, oh yeah, we'll do this and we're going to do that and we're going to coach you on nutrition and we're going to do all these things and we'll go grocery shopping with you and you hear these things, right?
Yeah.
And those things can't actually be executed or delivered on the back end, you're going to lose that customer because the expectations are now too high. So there's a lot of things, as you can imagine, that go into a systematic approach, like things like yeah. not overpromising and under-delivering, yeah. right? So listen, there's a lot of pitfalls. So I think overwhelming messages have a system of some sort. And if everyone's running the system and we have a consistent gap in sales, then you change the system. But if no one's running the system, how do you know what to repair?
Yeah, right? Don't know what to fix.
Don't know why
you're successful.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a lot, actually.
big time. That goes with marketing or training or any other right. kind of system. So that all that being said, you know, let's dive into our sales process. What we feel like our best practices. We've only been at it 28 years, so I think we've got a pretty good process here. And step one, so imagine taking a 60-minute hour, and it doesn't always work out perfectly. Let's say that we broke it up into four individual segments. So they're 15 minutes each, in a perfect world. We know it doesn't work this way always. So the first part of the sales process is what we call the meet and greet. And that would be, you know, some people might say goal and needs analysis, right? Another term that we use for it is what we call peeling the onion, right? So when we sit down with someone, we should have collected ahead of time a little bit of information based on their phone call. As you know, like, okay, you answer this. What's the number one goal of most people that are coming to a personal training facility?
Weight loss.
So you would say, okay, wants to lose, you need to have this in your notes. Now we use MindBody, which is our CRM, and this will sit in our notes. And it says, you know, here comes Susie Q. She wants to lose 20 pounds and had rotator cuff surgery 2 years ago and has a bad back.
Right.
So you should have reviewed that when you sit down with this person. So when you sit down, you know, you bring them in, you do a tour of the club, you're ready when they get there, right? You're on your feet, you walk over and you introduce them, you walk them around the club, mm-hmm. you have a smaller footprint, it's very easy to introduce them to a couple of coaches, maybe even some pivotal clients
yep.
that you know are sort of ambassadors of the brand to say, like, you know, say you're a guy that's in 3 days a week, you're in great shape, and you're a huge fan of Alloy in general. I would say, like, you know, hey, Susie Q, this is Matt. You know, he's been training here for 3 or 4 years. You know, Matt, Susie Q's new. And he'd immediately dive in and just be honored that he was introduced and say, like, oh, I love it here. You're going to love it. Great to meet you. Yeah. You know, don't let him work you too hard. Ha ha. You know, just almost like a little bit of a peek under the covers to what our culture looks like, right? Mm-hmm. And then you walk him back. I like to sell out of an office for training because we're going to dig deep. So I would say this session needs to happen in an office. So when you sit down for this meet and greet and you're going to do what we also describe as peeling the onion, you're going to need to be in a private setting.
Yes.
And I've heard, you know, information that contradicts that, like sell out on the floor. I'm like, listen, this isn't come try the latest, greatest workout. How many calories can you burn? You know, if you survive it, sign up. This is personal training. So we're talking about sitting down and getting personal. digging in and finding out why someone's there and convincing them that we're the place that can help them, right?
Yeah, well, they're not going to tell you a lot of the information outside of closed doors. I mean, it's just not happening.
No, nobody wants to sit out there and tell you how terrible they feel about themselves or that they've let themselves go or that they have an injury that they might be embarrassed about. Right. None of that's coming out when there's music playing and people walking around everywhere. It's very surface. You're not going to be able to dig deep. And that digging deep is that connection that makes it personal training. This is a differentiator between you and all the other HIIT franchises that are going to be in your market, right? Yep. So you sit down. Obviously, you're professional. You're ready. We talked about it. You tour the club. You're standing when they come in. You introduce yourself. You sit down with them and you simply say, listen, I've reviewed your goals and I have a few questions for you. Now, what that tells them is that you've already spent some time looking over their specific goals before they have paid you a dime or even walked in your facility. Mm-hmm. So it immediately takes the relationship from transactional to personal. And that's where we want to keep it, right? So as soon as we get like, listen, I've read these goals or I've read your goals and your concerns. I see you have a back injury, you lose 20 pounds. I'd like to ask you a few questions. And they go, okay, great. It's all about me.
Yep.
And so then you simply start asking questions. And if I asked you, Matt, as you were a female that hasn't worked out in a long time and you've got, again, bad back and that, and I say, listen, says here you want to lose 20 pounds. So tell me why you want to lose 20 pounds.
Yeah. I mean, you could be pretty straightforward. People are just like, I just want to lose weight to feel better. Or generally people dig in a little deeper and they start, oh, you know, I don't feel good. My clothes don't fit. I'm embarrassed to go outside. I don't like going to the pool. And you know, that's where the magic happens, right? I mean, those questions.
Yeah. And how many times have you sat down and thoughtfully, now, mind you, and these are things, I know we're kind of flying all over the place here, but these are important. So when I sit down with you, I don't want to be across a desk, right? I want to sit down with you probably on the corner and I want my body language to be good. So I'm going to square up to you and face you and I'm going to give you eye contact, right? I'm not going to sit across the desk looking at a piece of paper. You know, I'm not going to have you in an odd place in the office that makes you feel off-putting. I'm not going to turn sideways to you, right? Like I'm on my computer. I'm going to turn and face you. I'm going to have a real conversation like I'm at a coffee shop, right? And I'm going to say, all right, well, you know, why do you want to lose 20 pounds? And here's what we find when you ask enough why questions. That's peeling the onion, asking enough why questions to get down the core of why they're there. Sometimes people will tell you what they think that you think they need to do. So if I sit down with you, Matt, and you're really fit, and I'm a guy who hasn't worked out in a long time, I'm really out of shape, I might say, well, you know, I don't know. I need to lose some weight. You know, I mean, I don't look that great. I'm not happy with myself. Sometimes when you really listen to that response, it sounds like a question. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, so it says you want to lose 20 pounds. Like, why is that? Well, because I'm out of shape.
Right.
It has the tone that would, the voice inflection would lead you to believe that they're asking like, isn't this what I need to do? And if you ask another why question, so if I said, hey, you want to lose 20 pounds and you said, well, I don't feel good about myself. And I'm like, well, why don't you feel good about yourself? You know, you could just keep peeling that onion back till they'll say, you know what? It's not really, I mean, I guess it's not really about the weight loss. You know, really what it is I just don't feel good. Like, you know, my husband likes to hike, and so I like to go and hike with him, you know, and I'm not really able to keep up these days. My knees hurt, you know, and then I got this bad back. So like half the time my kids are home from college and, you know, I can't even do some of the things they want to do. Like they want to go bowling and it's like, well, can I even go bowling? Because my back hurts, you know? And so what you start hearing is, yeah, it started out as 20 pounds, but it ended up as so much more, right? It ended up as like quality of life.
Right.
And other things they're going to get. That's the deeper stuff that you need to get to, because honestly, that stuff is a lot stickier. And when you read the millions of success stories we have on our wall, that's the stuff that's mentioned. Oh yeah, by the way, I lost a bunch of weight, but here's all the amazing things that happened in my life, right? So you really want to get them thinking and projecting and picturing like, what is their life going to be like, right? When they get into this kind of shape. And you do that by digging deep and finding out why they're really there. And then once you do that, you also are asking them in those questions, like, what have you done in the past? Maybe you already have that information, but if not, what have you done in the past that didn't work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do you think it didn't work? Right. And mind you, you're collecting data as well. A lot of the things like lack of accountability were hurt because of bad programming. All those things could be easily remedied in our processes and our facilities. Right. So as I hear these things, I'm going to be able to specifically address those. Why are you here? Why have you failed in the past? Exactly why did you fail? And then I can address that, but what makes us different? What's going to make this time different? And I'm going to help you formulate that answer.
Well, you're setting them up for success as opposed to just, you know, letting them probably do what they did in the past where they think they're just working towards weight loss. They may fail and then they get right back in that cycle, right?
Right. And think about like even weight loss as a goal overall. Like it's kind of this nebulous number that people just pull out of thin air. Like, sure. I need to lose 20.
Yeah, why? And who told you that you need to lose 20?
Exactly. Why 20?
Yeah.
Why you say 20? Well, I don't know if it's 20. I'd really just like to be down one size in jeans. Well, that could be 10. That could be 7.
Right.
And so the issue that you run into if you don't dig deep is if you just take that first goal for face value and you don't help them formulate a more meaningful goal and they don't lose 20 pounds, let's say they lose 15 pounds and they are 2 pant sizes smaller and their knee doesn't hurt and their back doesn't hurt and they are hiking and bowling and doing all these life quality things, they still feel like they failed because you let them stick on a goal of 20 pounds without asking enough why questions to dig deep.
Sure.
And find out why they want to do it.
Well, it's really about, you know, changing their expectations and seeing for what, you know, it really should be. It's like, we want to be the healthiest version of ourselves. We want to be able to do what we want to do. And all that, you know, builds up to, at the end, you probably lose some weight with that. But it's not all about losing weight, right? No. We eat healthy to be healthy, we work out to feel good and do what we want.
Right. Right? And a byproduct of those things is going to be weight loss. Right. Right.
That's it.
I mean, look at our motto. It speaks to exactly that, right? Looking good. What does that mean? I don't know. Like, whatever that means to you.
Right.
Let's figure out what that means. Feeling great. That's important. Because if I look good, I'm probably going to feel better. But also, my movement quality is going to be better. I'm going to be in less pain. I'm going to be able to do the things in my life that I enjoy, which then leads to the last, you know, thing that we say, which is, you know, looking good, feeling great. And then most importantly, living life to the fullest. And what does that mean to you? Yeah. Probably means feeling good about the way you look, right? Feeling great with your health and the way you move and being able to do bowling and hiking and all the other things. That's really important. So we really want to hammer home those points and try to get people off of these superficial, very surface goals, right? Now, another reason that we do the meet and greet first is because the way that we set up our initial hour sales process is based on brain science. And it's really based on the way that people learn, right? So the three biggies for people and how they learn is people are auditory learners, they're visual, or they're doers, right? They're hands-on learners. And so what you'll find is if you have an auditory learner, a talker, this may take longer than 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you have someone that sits down with you and you dig deep and they immediately start to cry, I mean, you're getting somewhere. Believe me, I know it sounds like a terrible thing and you don't want to make people cry, but it does happen because it's so personal to people, right? If you can get them to really let that out and tell you why they're really there and reveal that little bit of pain, and you've convinced them that you're the place that can solve that pain, you've got them.
Right.
And you've got them in a good way. Remember, this is sales. You have to script and work sales. But at the end of the day, you can't sell this person. You can't help them anyway.
Right.
So it's all about helping. It's all about being prescriptive, you know? So this meet and greet, again, it's for the person, the talker, the auditory learner. We like to say 15 minutes. I've had starting point sessions, and I'm sure you have as well, that almost where the entire time was spent.
Right. In the office.
In the office with someone who was just letting all this stuff out. And certainly for the sake of staying on the timeline, you don't want to cut this person off or cut them short. If you're really getting somewhere with this meaningful conversation,
right,
let it go.
Right? Well, I mean,
don't worry about it.
Ideal world, they should be doing most of the talking. You shouldn't be the one just hammering them with questions. And if they're rolling, you let them roll.
Exactly. I mean, we'll get to more of this when we get to the close, which is the fourth step. But there's this old sales adage that says whoever's talking is losing, right? So asking meaningful questions and then just shutting your pie hole and listening is a very valuable skill in a sales process if you know the right questions to ask, right? And then you just keep asking until you run out of questions, honestly. Then you just say, all right, great. So when we finish this, again, 1/4 of the 1 hour of the meet and greet, we dig in, we find out everything we can about health history, why they're there, what we can do for them, what kind of quality of life they're going to have if they get in better shape, why they failed in the past, how we're going to be different. And then we simply tell them, all right, listen, now we're going to go out onto the floor and we're going to do, you know, we're going to measure how you move in a good way. And then we're going to do a couple sample exercises to let you know that you're good to go. And then we'll come back in and talk about what that looks like. Sound good? And if you've done a really good job setting it up, you know, you met them, you know, with enthusiasm, dressed well at the desk, you knew their name. Whoever was working at the desk also knew they were coming in. They knew their name. You introduced them to staff and clients. You made it back to the office. You sat down and had this meaningful conversation. You're 80% there already. Yep. Honestly, you're 80% there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just in our industry, unfortunately, this doesn't happen like this. And a lot of these bad experiences, that's why these clients are coming in so apprehensive. They got beaten up at other locations, other gyms, and they're just not used to it. So if you really sit down, you look them in the eye, you let them talk, and don't just wait for your turn to talk, it blows them away. and right. you create a customer for life.
Well, and that's why scripted process is important, because listening and meaningful questions and how to interact, it is a skill that can be learned. Granted, if you have those traits naturally as an individual, you're going to be better in that seat than someone who's not a good listener or what have you, but you can still get better. You can still practice it. And even if you're amazing at those things, mm-hmm. you have great emotional intelligence and you're very good with people, you're still going to be better off running with a script, right?
Well, sure. Well, I mean, no, personally, I mean, you can tell a story about first time I did it at some point, but once you do it several times, you get in a routine and it just like coaching with a system, it makes it easier. It lets you do
I'm
more
actually
going
to tell that story now and then we'll wrap it up for today. Okay. Before, yes, I know you're going to
go
hate
for
this,
it. So. That's fine. Whatever.
So I remember, and this is for everyone listening, if you're scared of sales. So Matt had been a trainer. He had come to us from another gym and worked as a personal trainer. And he just had this intuitive, what we talked about, you know, you had all those sort of intangible qualities were made you good with people. You were emotionally intelligent. You could sort of read body language, right? And you could always work really well with people. And then I needed you to move into the sales role, at least part-time. And I knew intuitively based on who you were, I'm like, you're going to be great at this. And you said what?
I don't know, man.
Yeah. I think you said no. I think it was more hell no, I don't want to do that. So we just run the play, just run the script, right? So you sit down and you do the 4-part process and you get to the end and you ask for the sale. As we'll get to in part 4, there's sometimes this uncomfortable silence.
Yeah. Feels like an eternity.
It does. And remember, the advice was just sit there. Right. First one to speak loses, right? So make the suggestion and then just be quiet. And you said it felt like an eternity. You said like the whole world was coming, like you were going to black out, like your world was shrinking, like someone who's going to pass out.
Yeah.
And then they simply look up and go, okay, great. And you were like, are you sure?
Couldn't get out of the office fast enough.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But you know, you sign somebody up for a 12-month agreement at $359 a month, first time out. Yes, you were talented, but you were also scared shitless to do it. And it really worked out well because you just ran the play and you trusted the play. And then you went on after that. It was like, you just needed that one under your belt. And then after that, you were phenomenal. So, you know, that just speaks to anybody that's scared to sell, or if you have as a leader and owner, you have someone on your team that you know would be good, but they're pushing back because they don't want to do it. It's a good story to share with them. And remember, if you have that scripted process, it'll make it a lot easier for them.
Yeah.
So for step one, we'll leave it at that. And we'll come back next time. Steps 2, 3, 4.
Great. Thanks for the info.
Thanks, guys. Peace.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast. If you have any questions for the host or are interested in learning more about running a successful personal training business of your own, please reach out and say hello. Connect with us at www.alloypersonaltraining.com and sign up for our free newsletter to receive additional resources.